We're going to be looking at disease, the diagnosis of disease, the prevention of spreading disease. Let's start in verse 1. We'll read a section and then we'll pray. Leviticus 13, beginning in verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man has on the skin of his body a swelling, a scab, or a bright spot, and it becomes on the skin of his body like a leprous sore, then he shall be brought to Aaron, the priest, or to one of his sons, the priests. The priest shall examine the sore on the skin of the body. And if the hair of the sore has turned white, and the sore appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a leprous sore. Then the priest shall examine him and pronounce him unclean. But if the bright spot is white on the skin of his body and does not appear to be deeper than the skin, and its hair has not turned white, then the priest shall isolate the one who has the sore 7 days, and the priest shall examine him on the 7th day. And indeed, if the sore appears to be as it was, and the sore is not spread on the skin, then the priest shall isolate him another 7 days. Then the priest shall examine him again on the 7th day. And indeed, if the sore has faded, and the sore is not spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is only a scab, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scab should at all spread over the skin after he has been seen by the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen by the priest again. And if the priest sees that the scab has indeed spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is leprosy. When the leprous sore is on a person, then he shall be brought to the priest. And the priest shall examine him, and indeed, if the swelling on the skin is white and it has turned the hair white, and there is a spot of raw flesh in the swelling, it is an old leprosy on the skin of his body. The priest shall pronounce him unclean and shall not isolate him, for he is unclean. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we turn to you and we ask for understanding. And we ask that you would use your word to minister to us and speak to us. And we need you, Lord. We recognize our need for you, and we believe you. And we know that you can answer our questions. You can heal us and touch us and make things right between you and us. We pray that your spirit would pour down on us and that you'd be pleased with the service. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The theme of Leviticus is holiness. We looked in the first 10 chapters that the theme was holiness in worship. We seen last week how there was holiness in diet and what they ate. And we looked at the holiness in childbearing and in hygiene. Today we're going to look at disease. I heard someone say that this chapter is the most extensive ancient record of diagnosing a disease. I don't know if that Levi or Chris might know if that's completely true. But again, holiness is to be different and separate. You know, the way the Egyptians dealt with disease, or the way the Canaanites or the inhabitants of the people around them was different. And here, God's speaking to Moses and Aaron and to the people. They're going to be a different way. And for their benefit, so that these diseases wouldn't be spread. So here's these laws concerning leprosy. Now, the chapter here, the word in the Hebrew for leprosy could include other skin diseases. But in the next chapter, definitely specifically leprosy. Leprosy, the most rampant disease in the ancient world. Horrible disease. Attacks the nervous system. I was talking to an elder at a church nearby, James Matthews. I said, I'm going to be on teaching through Leviticus 14 about leprosy. You know anything about leprosy? He said, well, I've seen a lot of lepers in India. He says some of them no longer have a nose. All of them, their hands like this, he said, become like claws. Many of them cannot speak because the palates have been have died and have they lost the ability to speak. Horrible disease. Toes and fingers fall off. Horrible. And here, God wanted to prevent the spreading of this disease. They were to be different. It was for their benefit. And it was very important for the priest kind of acting almost as a doctor, as the one who diagnosed the people. Very important that he got it right. Because if a leopard was allowed to be in the camp with everyone else, the disease would spread. But if someone who wasn't leprous was taken and isolated out of the camp, he would be isolated from his family. He would lose everything. And it was important to diagnose it accurately for the benefit of all. So here, very detailed, specific instruction to the priest of how to diagnose the disease. We're not going to read every word, but it talks about in verse 18 and following that sometimes leprosy would come out from a boil. If there was a boil, how they would treat that in a similar way, examining it. Or a burn. That leprosy could come from an infection in a burn. And verse 29 and following talks about how it could be in the hair or the beard, the hair of the beard or the head. And verse 38 and following, a bright spot or a bald head. You know, different expressions or manifestations of this disease, leprosy, and how each one they were to be very, very detailed and examine and be very careful to diagnose it accurately. In verse 47 and following, it talks about even a disease within a garment or a piece of leather and how they would deal with that. Cut it out or completely burn it so that it wouldn't spread. We're going to continue on to the other chapter afterwards. What we find here, there's also a spiritual type. Leprosy is a type for sin throughout Scripture. And there's a lot of things that are similar. Leprosy is deadly. Some called it the dead man walking, how their nervous system died and they slowly died and they were destined to die. And sin causes death and is deadly. There's no cure, even to this day, for leprosy. There's certain things that we can do to arrest it, more commonly known today as Hansen's disease. It can be arrested, but it still cannot be cured. And sin, according to our means, incurable. It's contagious, and no one knows exactly how it spreads, but that it's highly contagious. Sin passing on to every man and woman. We don't know exactly how it's passed on, but it is. And we see that there's different manifestations of the disease and just how sin can reveal itself in different ways. Many similarities. But I want to look at this chapter considering that type and see if we can draw something spiritually from it. The priest, we know from, turn to Hebrews chapter 3 real quick if you'd like. Hebrews 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. The book of Hebrews makes the point very well that Jesus is our high priest. We're going to keep that in mind as we go through this today. Jesus is our high priest. Very biblical. And really, the evidence that the high priest would look for to determine whether it was leprous or not. He would look for specific signs. He would isolate them and he would try to decipher if it's deeper than the skin, the Bible says. And we go to Jesus and he opens our eyes and shows us that our sin, you know, there's different manifestations. I was listening to Sandy Adams and he spiritualizes a lot of this. In verse 2 of chapter 13 of Leviticus, it says that a man has on his skin of his body a swelling, a scab, or a bright spot. And how he says that, you know, sin can come from a swelling, you know, an area of our life we're puffed up and proud about. That can lead to sin. It can be a manifestation of sin. A scab, a wound, something that hurt us, that can become a point of manifestation of sin. A bright spot, maybe even a good thing in our life. Sin can come about. But we see these little manifestations. We lose our temper. We say something we shouldn't. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. That was wrong. We go and we do something that is against God's word or we know is wrong. We hurt someone in one way or another. These little manifestations. And we go to Christ and Christ sets us aside and he shows us the depth of it. It's deeper than just the skin. It's not just that you said that. He shows us our heart and why we said that. He sets us aside and shows us it's not just the surface manifestation. It's something in our heart. It's a disease and a condition that we have deep down inside. The priest would see for the leopard that it's deeper than the skin. It goes deeper. He would isolate him, and if it spread or it developed, it was evidence that it was leprosy. And Christ shows us, as we go to him, the problem of our condition of leprosy, of sin. It's deep. It's in our heart. It's in our core. And then also, we look at areas of our life and we try to control, but sin develops and sin spreads. You ever try to take care of your sin, to remove your sin, to fix your sin? You ever try to do that and get frustrated? You ever honestly take a look at an area of your life and you see it's getting worse? You know, I used to only affect that area and it's spreading. Sin does that. And the condition of every man and woman, apart from Jesus Christ, is a sinner. And that sin cannot be arrested, cannot be cured. And it will slowly, sometimes more rapidly, it will spread and permeate every area of an individual's life. And it will become more and more destructive in those areas. And it's Christ that helps reveal that to us, because apart from Christ, we're blind and we don't see the development of sin, the development of destruction, the spreading of it. So we go to Christ as our high priest, and he shows this is deeper than just what you said. This is deeper than just this one little problem that you want fixed. This is a heart issue. This goes all the way past the skin into your soul, into your heart. And then he shows us, you see how it's getting worse? You see how it's spreading? You see how that it's becoming more and more destructive and it's affecting more and more areas of your lives? Just as the priest would look at these evidences of leprosy, Christ reveals to us the condition of our heart and of sin and how serious it is. The result of someone pronounced unclean, a leopard, he was isolated, the Bible says, from the camp. Live alone. You know, sin has that property. It isolates us. We live in a world and there's people around, and yet our sin condition makes us introverted and isolated in many ways, especially in a spiritual way. We were created for fellowship with God, and we were created with fellowship with one another. But sin distorts that, and we cannot have fellowship with God apart from the person of Jesus Christ because of our sin, and it even affects our fellowship with others. Sin taints it, where it's all looking for someone else's gain, and you hurt one another, and there's the true love and fellowship that God desires is affected, and we're isolated, lonely, separated, and then ultimately death. I was listening to Adrian Rogers on the radio, and he was talking about how God told Adam and Eve, "In the day that you eat the fruit, you will die." And it's a confusing thing to see, because they ate the fruit, and they lived for, you know, Adam lived over 900 years after that. What did he mean? The day that you eat the fruit, you'll die. I liked Adrian Rogers' description of it. You know, we know, those of us that have tried to answer that question, that they died spiritually on that day. And that was what God was talking about. We're made up of body, soul, and spirit. And the deepest part of us is our spirit. But that day when Adam and Eve ate the fruit, their spirit died. And that's part of the condition of being sinners. We're completely dead spiritually. Completely dead. And he said it's kind of like if you take a flower and you cut it off. Is it alive? It looks like it. It takes a while for it to wither, but it's dead. And that's what happened to Adam and Eve. They were cut off from the life source. And that's the condition of every man and woman on the earth apart from Jesus Christ. The process takes a while to affect completely our body and our body to die. But we're dead spiritually from day one because of the sin of Adam and Eve. And we're separated from the very source of life, God Himself. So the it's just kind of like the lepers, dead man walking. It's a process that's having its effect, taking its toll. Death. The effects of leprosy was death. The ultimate result. Sin. The ultimate result is death. Dead spiritually. It affects our emotions and our heart and our desires, and eventually destroys our bodies. Sin. The results of it. And the priest would pronounce the leper unclean. And, you know, we're going to get into chapter 14, and it talks about the cleansing, and it's real cool stuff. But I think that this is a necessary process for all of us. Now, I believe that we're here amongst brothers and sisters. We're saved. We're believers. I believe we've all been born again. I sure hope so. And then that means that we've been connected back to the life source. Christ has saved us and given us new life. And that's what it means on a spiritual level. And yet, this process, we need to understand completely. We need to go to Jesus as our high priest, and we need to understand the effect of sin. Just as the leopard had to go to the high priest, and the high priest would show him the depth of the sore, would show him the spreading of the sore, and he knew he was leprous. I think we need to allow Christ to open our eyes to what sin is and what sin does in the sin of our hearts and our lives. Because apart from him, we got this idea that, hey, everyone's good and it's okay, and we have these rationales that he takes away as he reveals truth to us. It's in your heart. It's deep, deep down in your heart. You're not good. No one is good, the Bible says. We all go astray, everyone to his own way, but no one is good, no, not one. And we need to allow the Lord to reveal that to us, the seriousness of sin as leprosy. Now, chapter 14 is very interesting. Look at verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "This shall be the law of the leper for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest." Now, this is very, very interesting because we've mentioned leprosy was incurable. There was no cure for leprosy. There still is no cure. So here we have in the law provision for someone who was a leopard and now being cleansed and pronounced clean. Someone healed of leprosy. This is a provision in the law for a miracle to take place. And many of the pastors I listen to sermons point out that this probably was specifically written for the high priests during Jesus' day. Imagine them. As Jesus, remember, there was one time 10 lepers came to him and he healed every single one of them. Remember, he healed another leper, and who knows how many lepers he healed. And remember, he specifically told one of them, the 10 of them, go show yourself to the priest. You imagine the priest. These are people that they had declared unclean as lepers coming back. Hey, I've been healed. And hey, we've never done this procedure before. The one pastor was saying, somebody get Leviticus. What do we do? I don't know how to do this. But this provision in the law for someone who was a leper healed and cleansed because Christ would do miracles. And we look deeper at the spiritual application because this condition of sin in our hearts, Christ can cleanse and heal. Let's see how he does it and what we can draw from it. Verse 1 again. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "This shall be the law of the leopard for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest." First thing. You know, step 1, chapter 13 talks about leprosy, the seriousness of it, the evidence of it, how it's deeper than the skin, how it spreads and it develops more and more destructive. We have this disease. Every single one of us have this disease of sin, realizing the seriousness of it. Now, do you want to be cleansed? Do you want to be made clean? You want to be healed? Step 1, the leopard must go to the priest. Jesus Christ is the only way that you can be healed from this disease. Verse 3, and the priest shall go out of the camp. I like this. Now, a leper couldn't come inside the camp. He couldn't come to the tabernacle. It says that he would go to the priest, but the priest had to come outside the camp. We have to go to Jesus, but Jesus is the one that comes to us. We reach out and He fills the gap and He comes and stoops to our level. In fact, He came to earth as a man. He went out of His way and went the distance to come and save us from this disease of sin. Have to go to Jesus, but He's really the one that comes to us when we show earnest. The priest shall go out, in verse 3, of the camp, and the priest shall examine him. And indeed, if the leprosy is healed in the leper, then the priest shall command to take for him who is to be cleansed two living and clean birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. There's a lot of types here. First thing I want to look at, two birds. Remember, for those of you that were here last week, remember how the Bible talked about the woman in childbearing after she was set aside and unclean for so many days that she was to bring a sacrifice for her cleansing? And remember how it said that if she was poor, if they were poor, they would bring two birds, turtle doves or pigeons. And we pointed out how Mary and Joseph were poor because they brought two birds. Now, for the leper, they were to bring two birds. So it was really a poor person's offering. And I like this because, you know, you want to be cleansed from your condition of sin. You want Jesus to give you life and heal and cleanse you. You must bring a poor man's offering. You must be aware of your spiritual poverty. The Bible says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom of heaven." We need to realize our condition and our inability to provide any cleansing or healing of ourselves. We come to Christ with the idea, "I can't, I'm poor. I don't have what I need to bring. I need your help." Humility. Realizing our spiritual poverty. They brought a poor man's offering. We see here, they were to bring cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. You know, the wood, I'm sure, pointing to the cross. Scarlet. There's an interesting study. You want to study the scarlet thread woven through Scripture pointing to Jesus Christ and His death on the cross. Hyssop, pointing to cleansing. The priest shall, in verse 5, command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. Running water could typify the Holy Spirit. As for the living bird, he shall take it, the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop, and dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. He shall sprinkle it 7 times on him who is to be cleansed from leprosy, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose in the open field. Now the two birds, I think, speak of first the death of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing that cleanses a man of sin. So we go to Jesus. He shows us our condition of sin. Leprosy, it's deep. It goes all the way to your heart, and it's just going to get worse. We go to Him bankrupt and poor. And He, because of the death, the price that He paid on the cross, He can take His blood and He can, because He paid the price, heal us and cleanse us and cover us for our sins. But the live bird that's set free speaks of His resurrection. See, the fact that Jesus died, paid the price for our sin, so that He could atone, cover, and cleanse. But the fact that He rose again means more. See, we've been crucified with Christ, and we can be risen with Christ. Turn to Romans 6. This is an awesome truth. The resurrection of Jesus Christ means so much to us. We know that it's only because Jesus died on the cross that we can be forgiven of sin. But it's only because He rose from the dead that we can live a new life. Romans chapter 6. Verse 6. Let's start in verse 3. Romans 6. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, Certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, that condition of leprosy held a person as the condition of sin holds us, and yet no longer be slaves of sin. Verse 7, for he who has died has been freed from sin. We can be crucified with Christ from our sin. Verse 8, now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Back to Leviticus. The death of Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ gives us the ability to beat sin. He's conquered sin and death, and he lives. And we can live a new life because of that. The two birds, speaking of his death and his resurrection. Back to Leviticus chapter 14, verse 8. He who is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. After that he shall come into the camp, and he shall stay outside his tent 7 days. But on the seventh day he shall shave all the hair off his head, and his beard and his eyebrows. All his hair he shall shave off. He shall wash his clothes and wash his body in water, and he shall be clean. Now, the individual here being cleansed, we realize, cannot cleanse himself from leprosy. Not only is he totally incapable of curing himself from leprosy, he's also totally incapable of pronouncing himself clean, as the priest was. And yet we see here that he's to wash and shave and set himself aside. And I see this here as a picture to our participation in the process. You cannot in any way cure yourself from the disease of sin. You have totally incapable. And you cannot pronounce yourself cured and clean. But Jesus can, and you can play a part. Okay, God, I'm gonna do everything you tell me to. I'm going to wash myself. Not that you can effectively wash away the sin. He's going to do it. But you participate in the process. You're active in participating in the process. The chapter continues. I'm not going to read it all word for word to bore you, but this is what happens. On the eighth day, after he's been pronounced clean, you know, all the different types of the death and resurrection of Christ, the washing, then he comes back to the priest, and this time he comes to the tabernacle because he's clean. And he brings another offering, two lambs, if he can afford it. And remember how the priests had the offering of consecration where some of the blood would be put on their ear, of the right ear, the tip of the right ear, the tip of the right thumb, and the tip of the big toe of the right foot. You guys remember that offering? Well, the leper here, the cleansed leper, has a similar offering. He offers the two lambs, and some of the blood is put on his ear, some of the blood on the thumb of his right hand and the big toe of his right foot. And there's this consecration after he's been cleansed, coming back to the priest. The sin offering, the burnt offering made. And him consecrating his ear to hear God, his hand to do God's will, his feet to follow. And then he brings oil, and oil, and this is different than the priest, is also put on the tip of his right ear and the thumb of his right hand and the tip of the big toe of his right foot. We know that oil signifies the Holy Spirit. And then the rest of the oil, the priest pours on top of his head. I like this because here, the leper's is already pronounced clean. He's clean, but he goes back. He wants more. He doesn't want to just be cleansed. He wants to be consecrated to God. Given over. He wants his ears to be tuned in to hear. Devoted to hear. He wants his hands to be devoted to do what's right. God's will. He wants his feet to be devoted to follow. He doesn't just want salvation. He doesn't want to just go to heaven. he wants to be given over to God. And by the blood of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can have that. You know, I mentioned before, and I believe it's true, that we're all born again. And if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you've asked him to come in, you know that you're a sinner, and you've accepted the price that he paid on the cross, you believe in him, you're born again. You're forgiven of your sin, and you're going to go to heaven. Now, is that good enough for you? Or do you want more? Do you want what Jesus did on the cross to just take you to heaven? Or do you want the fact that he died and rose again to transform your life here on earth? Some people get born again, and then they live just like a sinner the rest of their life. And some people tap into the power of the cross here in this life, and it transforms them. It changes them. It changes the way they hear. It changes the things they do and the places they go. The blood of Jesus touches them and changes them. The power of the Holy Spirit touches them and changes them. You want that? You got to go to your priest, Jesus. And you got to go back even after you're saved. The Bible says, as you have received the Lord Jesus, so walk in him. You know how you got born again. You know how to get saved, don't you? You want to take it farther? You want to walk with him? You want him to affect the things you do, the places you go? Do you want to hear his voice? Do you want to see what he's doing? Well, you got to do it the same way. You got to do it by faith. You got to do it by obedience. And here's this cleansed leper coming back to the priest. Okay, now I'm ready. And notice a lamb, and no longer a poor offering. You know, it says if he can't afford a lamb, he can bring a bird. But before, he didn't even have an option. He was just considered poverty-stricken. But now he can bring an offering. Now I'm ready to continue this thing. I want to go farther. I want things to be different from this point on. Oh, may it be so for us. And the priest pronouncing him clean, I think that is so important. Oh, that we would come to Jesus, our high priest, and he would show us the condition and the sin in our hearts. He would save us by his sacrifice, by his blood, by his spirit, by his resurrection. And he'd speak to us. When you hear God speak to you, you're clean. You're forgiven. Oh, that makes all the difference. Oh, it makes you feel good. You know it. And sometimes you need to hear it again. And when you hear him on a regular basis, oh, it changes everything. Oh, the peace and joy that comes from a person who has a good relationship with Jesus Christ. They hear him, their ears devoted and tuned in to what he's saying. The leopard walking around, I'm healed. Well, how do you know for sure it won't come back? The priest pronounced me clean. I know I'm clean. He's an expert. He did all the tests. It's no longer deeper than the skin. It's no longer spreading. He knows, and he told me. That's how I know. You want to know you're saved? You want to know for sure? You ever have doubts? You want to really know? Oh, you got to go deeper. You got to go back. You got to keep using your faith, and you got to give more of yourself, and you got to hear what he's saying. Because when you hear what he's saying, and you tune in to hear his voice on a regular basis, oh, then the assurance comes. I know. He just told me this morning. It's real. He loves me. And then I love this, because you think of before how the priest would show them that they're leopards. See, it's deeper than the skin. See, it's spreading. It's getting more destructive. And he would pronounce them unclean. But then you think of the person that the priest would reveal the opposite to. You see, it's fading. You see, it's fading. It's not spreading. You're clean. And that's what God wants to do in our lives as we come to him. And he begins to transform us from the inside out. We go to him. I've sinned again. This condition is so deep. It's messing me up. I keep doing the same things. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Help me. Take my ear. Take my hands. Take my feet. And he starts to transform us. And he's so comforting and loving. He says, hey, look. See how it's getting better over here? You see how you did that and you weren't able to do that before? You see what's happening? And he shows us, you see how things are changing from the inside? It's fading. That's what he wants to do. You know, just like you look at the flower, how it was cut off, and it's just a matter of time. It's dying. It's disconnected from the life source. In the same way, when we come to Christ and we're reconnected, and we keep that connection healthy and strong, and we develop that, it's bound to happen. The sin is going to fade. The life is going to become more evident. It's going to happen. Fruit will come. It's inevitable. As inevitable it is as a person without Christ is going to go in a direction where sin will develop and will become more and more destructive, so a life of a person healthily connected with Christ, fruit, growth, change will come. Will come. The provisions for the cleansing of the leper, oh, that we would be cleansed. You know, I want to, chapter 14, towards the end, starting in verse 33, it talks about how the leprosy, or the kind of a mold or mildew, could even be in a house. Interesting, because, you know, there could be some type in this. Remember how it talked about how it could be in a garment, the leprosy? Well, now in a house, in the provision, how the priest would come and they'd scrape all the plaster and they'd dig out all the dirty rocks, and he'd wait 7 days and come back and see if it would spread. And if there was any sign of it, again, they'd have to tear it all down and carry all the stones outside the camp to an unclean place. But if it was arrested and scraping all the plaster and replastering fixed the problem, then it could be pronounced clean once again. And how the leprosy could be in a garment or in a house. Interesting, because the spread of sin can be aided by inanimate objects. You know, the computer and the television, I think, are very powerful in the spread of sin many times. Not that a TV or a computer is wicked, just as much as a garment or a house has any, you know, moral properties. And yet, the enemy can use things in places. There are many evil places. There are many buildings dedicated to evil things, sinful things. And they could be used in the spreading of this disease. And something to consider. And with the garment, the section, just like the house, the section that was infected would be cut out. And then they would pay close attention to see. And if there was any more sign of it coming back, it would be burned. And you know, this is, I think, a good practice for us. If there's anything in our life, objects, things, places, that are being used to spread sin in our lives, we should remove the sin. And if it's not possible, then destroy it and remove it from your life. This is how God would have us act. Remember when Jesus told the story of, he says, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Pretty drastic. He's not trying to say that we do this literally, because again, sin is weighed down deep in our heart. But if there is something causing you to sin, and you can't effectively continue to maintain that garment without it spreading leprosy to you. If you can't effectively go to that house without being infected by the leprous disease, then you need to tear it down. You need to burn it, and you need to get rid of it. Take it outside the camp. Don't go to that place. Don't wear that garment. It's going to destroy you. And then in chapter 15, we're almost done here, and then we'll make some closing points. We're almost finished now. Chapter 15 is about discharges. Now, there is in a lot of these chapters, a summary section. Look at verse 31 of chapter 15. It kind of summarizes what the chapter is about. Thus you shall separate the children of Israel from their uncleanness, lest they die in their uncleanness, when they defile my tabernacle that is among them. That is the law for one who has a discharge, and for him who emits semen and is unclean thereby, or for her who is indisposed because of her customary impurities, and for one who has a discharge, either man or woman, or for him who lies with her who is unclean. Now this section deals with some type of emission or discharge from a person, whether it be a wound that's oozing pus, or some kind of emission of semen, or a woman bleeding in her menstrual cycle. And the idea of this is if they lie in a bed or they sit on a saddle, that it's to be pronounced unclean. You know, this is kind of weird, but follow me here. There's an application. It's to be pronounced unclean. Again, these are beneficial practices of hygiene. You know, you just don't sit on the same saddle if something's emitting from a body that could cause the spread of a disease. That could be harmful. These are things they didn't understand in this time. So it was, you know, bringing practices of hygiene to the people. But now, what can we draw from this spiritually? You know, apart from Christ, you know, the flower cut off from the life source, the leopard, the person that has the disease of sin, anything that comes from them, anything that they offer that comes out, can be harmful. I want to look at a couple scriptures to illustrate this point, and you can turn if you'd like. Matthew 15, verse 19. Jesus was describing how it's not what comes out of a man's mouth that defiles him. Or it's not what goes into a man's mouth that defiles him, but rather what comes out of his mouth that defiles him. Matthew 15. Matthew 15, verse 19. For out of the heart, this is Jesus' words, proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. You see all these things in this list? These are bad things. Jesus said, you know where they come from? They come from a man's heart. James chapter 3. If you want to turn there. James chapter 3, verse 6. I'm starting in verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, and a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. One of the points James is making is, what destructive things can come out of our mouth? Poison, deadly poison. You know, he says, sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. That can come out of our mouth. Jesus said what can come out of our hearts. James tells us what can come out of our mouths. It can be destructive and damaging. So when we see in the Old Testament Leviticus how these different emissions from a person can be dangerous and how that should be separated so that it won't spread disease, defilement. It says to separate a person from their uncleanness. So the things that come out of us can cause harm. The things that come out of our mouth, the things that come out of our heart, they can really hurt people. It can do damage. So the point there, be separated from uncleanness. Again, we need to go to Jesus and get this thing fixed because it's contagious. It can cause harm to the people around us. In fact, we can't stop it from causing harm apart from God healing and fixing the root and heart of the matter, keeping them clean and separate from their uncleanness. So in conclusion, Leviticus 14 or 13, 14 and 15, speaking about disease and discharges, I'd encourage you, you know, I don't know how much of this you're getting or what's connecting or ministering to you. But I pray that we would, as someone in the Old Testament, would go to the priest. And the priest when it came to any diseases, you know, what is this mark on my hand? And the priest would examine it and tell them that we would go to Christ on a regular basis and allow him to examine us and pronounce and proclaim and teach us. Lord, what is this that I'm talking and saying? What is this that's in my life? You tell me. You know, the people of those days could go to their, you know, Aunt Betty. What do you think? You know, you think I'm okay? Oh, I think you'll be fine. They could go to someone from Egypt. They could go, you know, they could try to do it themselves. It doesn't look that bad. But they wouldn't know for sure unless they went to the priest. And so, you know, we can listen to other sources. Hey, what do you think, man? You think I'm okay? You think I was wrong when I said that? And we can get false ideas, but may we go to Jesus. He's the one that knows for sure. He's the source of all truth. God, search my heart, David said. Search me, know me. You know everything. You know what's going on. Where is this coming from? And he can reveal to us our hearts. He can reveal to us truth. Hey, it goes deep. It's not their fault. You know, the truth of the matter is, the circumstances around us, the evil people, the people that hurt us and do bad things, all of it is used, and it only reveals what's in our heart. They're not the cause of our problem. They reveal our problem. Our problem comes within. Everything we say and we do, we're responsible for. And Christ can show us that. Hey man, you got a problem. It's called sin. So we would go to Christ and he would open our eyes. And we would go to him not just to show us our sin and to show us truth, but to cleanse us. Oh God, can you fix this? Change me, heal me. And he would save our souls and connect us to the life source, and we would keep coming back. And you need to keep helping, Lord. Keep fading it out. Help me. Touch my ears. Touch my hands. Touch my foot. Touch my ears again. Touch my hands again. Touch my feet again. Your blood, your Holy Spirit, transform me. Oh, that we would go to him. Allow him to examine us. Show us what is wrong. Speak to us truth. Cleanse us. Speak pronouncement. You're clean. You're forgiven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we ask that you'd help us. Help us to hear your voice and understand what you're saying. Lord, we know deep down, we know that we're sinners. We know that we're wrong. We have a conscience and we feel guilty. We know deep down we bear witness to the truth that the problem's in our heart. Lord, we pray that we would go to you with that problem, and that you would cleanse us and forgive us, and that you begin the process of change in our hearts. Oh Lord, transform us. May we not be happy with just being promised heaven, but may we strive towards a change in our life today here on earth. Touch our ears, touch our hands, touch our feet, touch our hearts, touch our mouth. Transform us. May the power of your Holy Spirit, may what you did on the cross 2,000 years ago, may the fact that you rose from the dead, may it make a difference in the way we live our life today. We see that's what the Scripture teaches, and it can be so. Give us faith. May it be so. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.